Hello, and welcome to the Podcast of Steel. Here, I share news, reviews, my adventures, interviews, and more. You can always expect some Superman content from this show, but I'm a lover of all things geeky, so you never know what you're going to get. Now, let's leap into action with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel.
Hello, and welcome back to Luke Up, my new podcast series dedicated to the James Gunn Superman movie. And today I am joined by Superman, Jake Fogg, cosplayer extraordinaire, Superman fan, all-round good guy. Welcome back to the show, sir.
I am so happy to be back. Thank you very much for happening. I've been looking up for months now.
And I've got a bad neck from it all, to tell the truth. I need to see a chiropractor.
It's getting a little tight, but you know. No, I'm so happy to be here with you, man.
Yes. I mean, I've been talking about this since I saw the film for the first time. And now we can talk about it more. We can talk about it online without sharing too many spoilers, but there's probably going to be spoilers in here. So if you've not seen the film, pause this video, bookmark it, go away, watch it, enjoy it, come back and join Jake and I, because we need to talk about this film. Now, Jake, we've been excited for months with all your fantastic cosplay photos and excitement building up to this release date. How did you feel when you were finally sat down in the theater waiting to watch this movie?
It was a funny mixture. It was the first time, I felt like a little kid, like a seven-year-old boy, when you wake up on Christmas morning and you're like about to go and see your presents. That is one side of it. It was also the first time I was ever like nervous. I was just like, a little bit of me was just like, please be good.
Please be good. Please be good.
Please be good. Please be good. Because, you know, you set such a high bar, you know, for all the trailers and just you've been talking about it for so long. And it's just kind of surreal of like, I think we talked on this, you know, privately of just like, I can't believe like it's actually time to go watch it. Like, it feels like I've been promoting it for like 2 years now almost.
Since that first image was released last year, that moment of Superman in the boots, that we will get to, because that was an absolute twist of storytelling. And then each time we were waiting for something new and official, new marketing, something that was legit and not photographed from set, something that we could talk about openly. And then the marketing happened thick and fast. And as you said, yeah, there's a moment where you finally sat down thinking, well, it's time.
Time.
I think I'm ready. I'm not sure if I am ready. Let's hope it's going to be worth the wait. And for us, it clearly was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. You know, it's funny. I wasn't expecting it really to surprise me, but it did in a lot of ways. Like, I don't really know what I was expecting, to be honest, but it wasn't what I got. And I loved it. I think the biggest takeaway was, my God, this movie was so timely and such a needed movie and message for the world that we live in right now and everything going on. Like, that was the biggest takeaway, is like, this movie could not have come out at a better time in society. And just, wow. And to see all the feedback and people talking about kindness, and my gosh, it's like just lighting my heart on fire. It's fantastic. I
am often proud to be a Superman fan. I've enjoyed doing that for many years and recommending stories and recommending what films to watch when you need to watch a certain Superman film. But as you said, the feedback from this film, talking to people that I've not spoken with before, talking about people about this film, just in the lobby with people going in and coming out, talking with people that are clearly there to see a Superman film, people with piles of Superman popcorn buckets and comics saying, are you ready? What are you excited for? And then speaking with them after the film, it's a conversation starter. And the fact that so many people around the world are seeing it, I've not checked the numbers right now, but recently, today is the 15th of July. 220 million yesterday. I'm not sure what it is now, but I'm hopefully that number's going up and up and up.
Absolutely.
As you said, just to be excited to talk with fellow Superman fans, it's a beautiful thing.
It was a beautiful thing. And to see people say like that they came out like wanting to be a better person, like to hear that reaction from, I mean, even characters like, you know, Captain America in the MCU, who's a great example of like, you know, doing the right thing and being good. But to have that effect of like people immediately saying like, this character made me want to be a better person, I'm like, well, that's Superman right there. That is exactly the whole point. That's the whole point.
That is it. That is the reason. That's all I've ever wanted people to feel about once they've read a fantastic, powerful Superman story is that we have, like this film, it's so many methods and messages about making the right choice. We can't lift trains and we can't fly as fast as a speeding bullet, but we can make better choices. We can make choices like Superman does. Yes. And we had that with this film. And that's something that I'm so happy that you noticed, Jay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was, as you know, I was in the theater in David's suit, or a version of David's suit. The beautiful part was the first time I saw it, there was about six kids, probably within age 6 to 10 or 11 in front of me. First off, it was funny because they kept going like, and then back to the screen, back at me and in the screen. Afterwards, when the film ended, a couple of them were like, that was awesome. Like, and a couple of them were like, I want to be like you when I grow up. But I was just like, oh, I was like, okay, that's all I need to know, because that's a different demographic of to see the feedback from a young person's lens. I'm like, okay, this hit the way it was supposed to. I also heard a lot of kids telling your dads, you better buy me a crypto.
That's it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's getting people talking and believing in hope again, which is absolutely beautiful. But when I got to see the sort of the fan event here in the UK, which was the first 30 minutes, so the opening scene with the fortress, some moments at the Daily Planet, and the interview scene between Clark and Lois, which is beautiful scenes, but some parts taken out for the speed of the 30 minutes. Yeah. That just gave me enough to think, right, I'm ready for the rest of this film. But that 30 minutes was all it took for an audience to get excited. And there was a kid in front of me, again, around 7 to 8. And when we went to the pictures, the cinema, to see it, there was a goodie bag on each chair, which had sweets and toys and a cape and other things. And they had this game where you could go around and catch a ball. And when the music stopped, you won more prizes. And they played this game for about half an hour. Everybody around this young lad kept on winning and giving all their Superman swag to this kid. And I'm thinking, first of all, well, I want a little bit of swag, don't get me wrong. But if I get anything else, it's going to this kid.
Right.
It's not only an exciting time for him to be a fan, he's at that age where he wants to be inspired by heroes. And right now, his Superman, as it were,
is David. Yeah.
That's his. And to have that as your first introduction to this world of superheroes and storytelling.
Good place to start.
You've got a good pick. And yeah, now he's got all this swag and all this fantastic memories of that moment.
Yeah.
But for me, that was like, wow, this is what it's all about. It's fantastic storytelling with some inspiration, great escapism, and everything that I need from a Superman film. And yeah, I'm not done with it. I need to see it a few more times.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I'm a realistic, like, was it a perfect movie? No. Like, there were a couple things I would nitpick and be like, you know, I would maybe, like, I felt it could have been a little longer. I felt the pacing was a little, like, it was like boom, 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 where I could see. But I mean, my gosh, I mean, as far as just a Superman movie, it was perfect. It was everything I hoped for, and so much more. It was more profound and more. There were a couple lines and moments in particular in the film that like really hit me hard on like really just like really been like, that's one of the most Superman, you know, because I've read Superman since I was a little boy. I mean, that was almost my introduction to reading was comic books, because, you know, short pictures, great. So,
you
know, and there's so many things where I'm like, this is right up there with some of the moments in the comics of like, this is him. Like, this is literally the Superman I've been reading since I was a little boy. It was
those classic comic visuals of bright buildings, bright colors, perfectly blue skies.
I love the palette.
And even in those, the dark moments when we see Superman being captured, it's dark and it's gloomy and it's gritty. The suit still pops. You still see the elements of that suit. Yeah. But as you said, we don't need like 30 to 40 minutes of world building. We know the history of Superman. We know their origin story. How they did it with the little cue cards at the beginning, that was great. That was perfect. I'm sure David was happy because there were hints of Star Wars there.
Yeah.
But we weren't force-fed the information that we needed. Yeah. We could get where the story was going. Yeah. There were still twists and turns. But yeah, as you said, I could have had this film be a little bit longer. I mean, I could have had this film be 6 hours long for all I care. But I would have liked to have seen, especially more Clark. We didn't get much Clark Kent in this film, which was okay. What I did think, going back multiple times to see this, I get why they've done certain things. What I loved about this particular one aspect of the film is that we don't necessarily see Superman save Lois once.
Yes, they mixed it up.
We mixed it up, which was great. They mixed up a lot of things, which was kept the, you know, the fans of Superman and those that know the stories, kept them guessing. And that's what I like about James Gunn's style. Especially one of the things that we both talked about before was that we weren't sure what the Kent situation was going to be like. Is Ma Kent going to be around, or is Pa Kent going to pass away? Them both being there was beautiful.
Great. Loved it.
We didn't get much of them, but what we got was powerful. And that scene with Pa Kent and Clark out on the swinging bench, that one gets me every single time.
Yeah, that was one of them. I also, like, for me, even before, I was already getting teed up with emotion too, because I know it's going to sound, I'm probably one of the only people where this hit me, but as I told you on our first day, like, I grew up on a farm, and my dog, I have so many videos of him going nose to nose with the cows that are on.
Wow.
So when Crypto does that to
does a little jump.
It literally, yeah. I mean, I literally just saw my dog, and for whatever reason, it just like kind of hit me. And then Pa Kent comes on the swing on top of that, and I'm just like, oh, no. Yeah.
Body shot.
Body shot.
But it was, yeah, there were a few times when I first saw it. It was after two very exciting and long days in London. So I was there for the fan event, which was fantastic. But that week, I was lucky enough to see three Q&A events with James Gunn. Now, credit to the man, the answers he gave were very different to each and every question. But what I got from his answers was the fact that he cares so much about the characters, the storyline, the universe, and the fans, that I knew going into seeing this film it was going to be amazing. And I was lucky enough to get one of my questions answered at the panel.
I'm very happy for that. And I think I know that guy. I was like,
and that's when I'm still not over that. I'm still pinching myself. Yeah, my question got answered, and I raised my hand and went, "Hey, I know you." I was like, "Oh," I was like, "James Gunn knows who I am." But and that for me was enough. I only needed that moment because I was excited. I'd seen 30 minutes. I wanted to get back home, compose my thoughts, and get back to the cinemas that week. And then James Gunn finished the Q&A by saying, "Well, you know, the most excited thing I'm really looking forward to is people seeing the film." And then he was like, "Do you want to watch it?" And we were just like, there was just screams of excitement. And I think I just yelled out, "Yes, please," down at the front. You know, manners make of man and all that. I wanted to make sure that he heard that, please. And yes, then we watched it. And I've not been the same since, that's for sure. But as you said, the emotions in this punch you for different reasons. As you said, just that moment with Crypto and the cows. There's moments where the music can just hit me. There's moments when Superman or Clark is given a fantastic speech. There's emotional scenes when there's no dialogue, just fantastic music and visuals. And yeah, I've seen it, yeah, like five times now. Twice with the girlfriend. And I think she knows now all my triggers of what's going to set me off. Anything to do with dads, anything to do with dogs, anything to do with like romantic interests. There's that moment where, spoiler alert, Superman says he declares his love for Lois, and Lois is pretty much just deadpan thinking about it, and then at the end when she says it. But for me, we'll get into your favorite scene in a moment. Going back, I've noticed more things whilst talking to more people, and I was speaking recently with a good friend, Paco, who lives in Spain, and he was just mentioning the fact that the moment Lois falls in love with Superman and Clark Kent is that moment when he's in his bedroom. And he's unwell, and he's being looked after by his mum. And she's just looking around. And she's in that moment, she knows that he's come from a different planet. She knows that he's this all-powerful being. But comes down to choices. He chose to stick around, to be a good citizen, to be a good son, to be a good colleague, and essentially a good boyfriend. And you see that moment where she starts falling. I'm thinking, combine that with that score. Here we go. Heart is just being wrenched. But it's hard to pick a favourite scene, Jake, but for you, what scene do you like going back and seeing time and time again?
There's a scene and there's a line, I think, for me. Or two scenes, I think, and then a line for me. So the one scene, obviously, I love the whole interview between Clark and Lois and just the dynamic of that, because I think their chemistry was off the charts. Like, I would say even more so than Christopher Reeve and Margot. And that's saying something, because I thought they were the gold standard for that in the beginning. But just the natural chemistry was insane. So just to see those two interacting on that. It's a simple scene, but I thought it was fantastic. The other scene I thought just was incredible. It's obviously the one you're referring to, where we see finally Superman take care of the Raptors and then have that monologue at the end with Lex. But the line that really got me, and I thought in all the Superman films, I think this encapsulates Superman the best, and really gives the idea of this version of Superman, and basically tells you everything you need to know, is the moment in the bed, in Clark's apartment with Lois, as that big creature is outside, which is funny. It's so funny. But she's saying in that moment, his world is turned upside down. He finds out something about his heritage that has rattled him to his core, and he's shook, and he's not sure where he stands with Lois at that time. He just got his butt kicked, and he's got the world that, like, he wants so desperately to be a part of and accept him to hate him. And in that moment, he says, his thought is, I am going to put all that aside, and what I'm thinking of is there's a dog out there that's alone and he is scared. And to me, that that's what he's thinking about. That is everything you need to know about who Superman is. He has literally the world against him, and all he's thinking about is the dog, who quite frankly annoys him, and always thinking about
he's not even a good dog, he says. He's not even a good dog. But he's scared and he's alone.
And I'm going to go find him. I think that was the best.
Yeah, you're going to set me off. But that scene, I love that scene for so many reasons. There's so much to take in. That is the first image we got way back when.
Yes.
That set the internet ablaze with conversations about, why is he doing that? Why is he not out there saving anybody? Why is this? What's going on? And James Gunn knew that way back then. He knew that. Said, well, this is the first image, and this is why you're all going to be wrong about why I did it. And the fact that he's over there hiding away. But it's I love Mixius Pytlick. And the fact that that was in there as an Easter egg, and he's not even caring about going outside to save him, because he's in this world now that's already established. There's already heroes that he can trust and depend on to go and take care of business when Superman needs a bit of a break. And then, of course, we get that fantastic punk rock line as well. But it just all fit together. And I kept on looking back and trying to figure out why some scenes went in certain directions, and it all just worked. But those emotional scenes come in thick and fast. And spoiler straight away, I'm going right to the final scene when he sits back. We get that same message from the beginning, where now number four, but now Gary
says,
we like to show him messages from his family. It soothes him. And you think, oh, we're going to get that clip again. Nope. It's his adopted family. The adopted family that chose to raise Clark. The family that Clark chose to stick around for and love and protect. That choices element. So there's not enough Daily Planet merchandise in the world. Now this book, which you could get your name put on, so I had to put on the Geek of Steel, which is my Clark Kent.
Love it.
I've got absolutely awful penmanship, but my girlfriend's got fantastic handwriting. And with my my new fountain pen that I know that you've got as well. Asked her to put that quote in the front. And that's what the film is all about. It's your choices. It's Superman doing the right thing. It's being a better person. It's helping others. It's making mistakes and learning from them. The messages in this film can go to anybody, not just a superhero or a demigod. It's those people that need words of wisdom. And James Gunn has just knocked that straight out of the park with this film.
Yeah, the one thing I liked that he said, I don't know if it was in the Q&A with you guys, or I can't recall exactly when he said it, but he said, you know, all the iterations of Superman before, a lot of them focus on the super of Superman. I focus on the man of Superman. And I love that he said that. Even with the beginning where I've always viewed Superman, I heard somebody make this reference, and I'm going to use it. So I can't remember who said it, but good for you. I think this is spot on. He said, if you look at like DC in general, or just superheroes, a lot of them are policemen. They're looking to uphold justice, and they're looking to make sure that people are abiding the law and all that. Superman's a firefighter. All he's caring about is, how many lives can I save? How can I save them? and that's his focus. That's it. And in this movie, did you see, like, during the kaiju fight, he isn't trying to fight the kaiju. He's trying to save as many critters, or every life is worth saving. And that is how I always envisioned his mindset to be. And when I heard that analogy, I was like, that actually works. He's not there.
So like with say Batman, for example, he's both and a detective. He wants to find out why the crime's being committed, not necessarily get these people out of here. With other people, it could be other elements. But yeah, Superman, I love that, is the firefighter. He runs towards the fire. He goes there, gets the people out first of all. And we see that a few times in the film.
Yeah.
When he escapes the prism, he's completely kryptonite poison, but he's like,
I love how they use kryptonite, by the way, like the actual effect. I had never seen that before.
It was done so well. Seeing that on a big IMAX screen was a sight to see. But yes, but again, as soon as he comes out, he's like, there's more people down there. I've got to go back in. Send me back in. I'll do what I can. Back into the fray, he says. Love that. Love that. But him as being as a firefighter, that's a perfect fit for it. And we knew David was going to be good. I didn't know David was going to be this
good. I didn't either. He shocked me. He really did. I thought he would be a good Superman. He was, I'll flat out say, he's my favorite Superman since Christopher Reeve.
And
not even with a hesitation.
And that's what I love about, like, people are always going to compare to Christopher Reeve and Henry Cavill, to everybody that has put on the suit and the boots. But I was speaking with people after their first time seeing the film, comparing it to 1978, but saying, I think I might like this one more. I think I prefer this version of Superman more than the others. And I'm thinking, well, that's great. I love that. Always going to be Team Superman. That's the person that I'm supporting.
Yeah.
When somebody does such a great job that it becomes your favorite portrayal, I was like, yes, Superman's back. Yeah. This is how Batman fan feels every day.
Yeah.
But now we've got it as a constant. I mean, it's not helping the bank account, as you can see around me.
Of course,
but this is me protecting the future of Superman. So I feel it's in my destiny to help out any which way I can.
You're doing a great job with it. You're doing a great
job. I was only originally going to get just the one cup. And I was out at a cinema the other week before the film was even released. And I thought, well, I've seen that Crypto there now, which is a nice furry little popcorn bucket.
Yeah, I love that.
But then behind me, I've got the popcorn with Superman using the heat vision. Then there's the other tins as well.
I'm jealous. I only have the one of the Daily Planet, like, news.
See, that's the one. Now, I've got that coming from a good friend in Canada. For me, I was speaking to somebody earlier on today. That is what I consider America to be. It's such a visual prop that we don't get here in the UK. I don't think many other countries either. I first visited America. I went to New York in 2009. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited to see a news vending machine. I was like, that was what I wanted. Because, like, that's it. This is really America. And when they had the pop-up Daily Planet booth in London a few weeks back, they had one. It was red. I was like, that is so cool. I offered to buy it when they were finished, but they said, we're going to look into it. I was like, I will give money to charity. I need to have one in my life. But the popcorn machine is a fun one for it as well, but it's great to see all this in cinemas and people getting excited for it, to be excited for Superman again. I'm excited whenever there's something new about Superman. Could be a comic, could be a show, could be a TV series. But now we've got this film where the world is just talking about my favorite thing. It's quite surreal, but it's very exciting at the same time.
I feel like I finally get to just be like, see, to like all the people that are like, he's not relatable, he's not that cool. And now I'm like, yes, he is. You just got to
get that's the it.
Right interpretation. He's cool and he's very relatable. And now in this version, he's probably the most relatable he's ever been because of the way that they portray him.
And that's it. Superman can be relatable. People have always said, oh, there's no good Superman stories. There are. You could grab any Superman comic and find a fantastic story. It's putting that into a film where you tick all the boxes. And we've had that with the Superman films over the years. There's been hits, there have been some misses. For me, with this film, it was ticking off that bingo card of things that I needed. I needed that family feel. I needed that sort of a film that children could look up to, that families could enjoy, that old school Superman fans would love and young fans would get on board with. And as you said, it's the right time for this film, but it's just hitting all the marks for me.
Yeah, it's also where I felt like, because I love Man of Steel, but the one thing about that movie, it's not a four quadrant film where like you can't take a 6 year old. If you took your grandparents, it's probably a little too dark. You're not smiling a lot in it. I mean, you're not coming out feeling like joyful. And this movie completely went away from that. It was like, this is a movie for everybody. I mean, not just me, I was grinning like an idiot the entire film, just like smiling and laughing. And I thought the humor was great. I have so many like in my head of where I want to see stuff go and different ideas. I mean, first off, I would love, and one thing I wish they had more of in the movie was the Daily Planet. I need like a Daily Planet
spin-off.
Like Office style spinoff.
Yes. With
like Jimmy and Lois. Yes. And Harry and Lombard and all of them. I mean, that crew is great. I wanted to see so much more of them. Mr. Terrific needs his own series ASAP. He blew me. I loved him. And honestly, I didn't really know that much about Mr. Terrific. I mean, I knew who he was and I got like, but like, I didn't realize how cool of a
character can be.
So cool. And Eddie absolutely crushes that role. And Lois was spectacular. Lex, I thought Nicholas was the best Lex we've ever had. He was unbelievable.
Thank you for that.
He was, to me, he was actually like the standout performance outside of David.
Hold just, my gun. Yeah. Nicholas Holt, I've always loved what he's done.
Me too.
Going back to About a Boy, I can remember loving that book and then seeing that character come to life on screen. My initial thoughts when I came out of my first screening, I had to write everything down as much as I could remember. I forgot my trusty Daily Planet journal, so I had notes on my hand, and it was pretty much one of the hottest days in London. So there was just ink running down it. Sort of break any embargoes because nobody on public transport could read my hand, including me. But there were notes on there about Lex because my thoughts about his betrayal, it's my favorite Lex Luthor.
Yeah, me too.
Now, Smallville got me into the world of Superman, and yeah. Michael Rosenbaum's Lex Luthor is brilliant. I loved that character. I've loved elements of all the Superman Lexes, Lexi or Lexo, but with this Nicholas Holt's version, I disliked Lex.
I
want that from a villain. Yeah. I want to boo and hiss when he comes on the screen, but also be lost in his absolute megalomania. And those scathing speeches and rants that he made about Superman, those moments when he's calm and collected in front of Superman and sort of, I don't know about your dog, an ugly little dog with a cape. What are you talking about? And then we get those moments when he's just raging.
The payoff for that, though, is my theater. I don't know about yours. My theater, both every time I've seen it, erupts during that payoff scene at the end. It just
that's
like, me too. I was just like, yes, yes.
There's a lot of fantastic Superman speeches that have happened in comics and that have been brought into animation over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Superman's has a couple of smaller speeches towards the end, but that moment when he tells Lex he's wrong. He said, no, that's where you're wrong, Lex. And he gives that speech about making mistakes and continuing and carrying on and being just an embodiment of hope. Mm-hmm. That's my Superman.
Yeah.
When all those moments grind you down and you still get back up and carry on. And I was like, I could feel myself in my cinema seat getting taller. And you could hear people cheering and clapping. And then with that gorgeous sun behind him breaking through. And then panning back to Lex's face when Crypto's about to make him his lunch. It's like, oh, it's like perfect. It was the perfect scene.
And well, the beautiful thing about that too, and you know, I'm not here to knock any other of the past interpretations, but like you hear, sometimes they talk about hope and hope and hope, but the tone with the movie and how the character's portrayed isn't consistent with the lines, but when he gives that monologue, I think what makes it so special is it's been proven throughout the entire film, the consistency of that is who he is. His actions back up the words that he's saying. And you believe it because he does it again and again and again. And he doesn't sway off of that line at all. So when he says it, you believe it even more profoundly. And I think that's why that moment hits deeper. Whereas in past iterations, you know, they'll talk about hope, but then he's not saving his dad from a tornado or like, you know, he's not.
Something else happens that he could have saved.
Something else happens. You know, I think that was a big thing for me when I thought about it. And the second time I watched it, especially. And the second time I watched it, I liked the movie so much more because, A, I could relax and I knew what I was kind of expecting.
That was it. That's it.
Yeah. And I could also just, like, appreciate some of the stuff and, like, think more. And, like, that hit me when he gave that speech was, like, it, the consistency of that throughout the film makes that moment work so much deeper than... And that's all due to James keeping that tone throughout.
Keeping it going through. I mean, that's the thing. I think going back for my third, fourth, and fifth screening, it's like going on a roller coaster. You need to know where the dips and the sharp turns are so you can enjoy the more quieter moments. But then brace yourself for impact when something powerful is about to happen again and again and again. But for me, it's when you are... lost in that quiet moment, and then you just remember something's about to come back again and you get excited. It's like going back and reading that comic again that you've read 10 times before, and you're getting closer turning the pages. Yeah. And you can go at your own speed, and you're thinking, yes, it's coming back. That speech is coming, or that punch is coming. It just all works for me, this film. It just, as we've said, it ticks all the boxes for me. But yeah, we didn't get much Clark. We said about that. We'll be honest and go for some of the things that weren't necessarily happy with. Yeah. But it didn't ruin the experience. But I would have liked more Clark, more Daily Planet, more Perry White.
Yeah.
Because I thought Perry was fantastic. We do get that scene towards the end where he grabs all the troops and then they get on the spaceship and go off to save the day. And Jimmy, for some reason, is still carrying the cork board. I was like, you've got a phone. Take a picture of it. It's going to be easy.
Why don't I have a seat?
That bit when he's putting the... Oh. And he looked... I don't think he's that... short in real life, but compared to everybody else in that film, he was a lot smaller. Yeah. And that's what I want for that character. It was fantastic. Where would you... So another thing that I wanted to ask, there was that scene, of course, where they did change a bit of the Superman lore, where the mum and dad and Jor-El and Lara were like, well, this is why we're really sending you to Earth. That's caused a bit of controversy online, but you can see why they did it. What were your thoughts on that, Jake? About Superman coming down to Earth to sort of to make Earth his own, as it were.
I am still kind of torn on, really, to be honest. Part of me still thinks down the road that that's not true, like that thing was doctored by somebody, whether it's through Brainiac.
All right, that was exactly my... got a big page in my notebook where I put big letters.
Yeah, I don't think that's... I mean, granted, this is the optimism, but I don't think that that's actually... I think it was doctored. I really do. And it would be a great setup for the next film. And
wouldn't
I think
it?
If you're going to do Brainiac, I think that's a great way in. And he finds, you know, it kind of brings him home to, as the first movie brings him home to humanity, I think it's cool to, like, let's bring him back to having a piece about his Kryptonian heritage, which would be cool. If it's not, it's fine. I think it only makes him appreciate the human side of him more. And it shows that even the message of, even if, you know, you were set on his, like Pa Kent said, like, the parents aren't here to tell you what to do. You can make a fool of yourself on your own. Like, it's just to give you the tools to do it yourself and be who you're meant to be.
More choices. It's so there.
I think it's a representative of either side. But my personal opinion is that it was doctored.
Yes. I mean, but that's the thing. And they even went back and sort of explained, I'm like, Lex's brain and Lex's team, where we've got the most powerful computers and translators on Earth.
Kryptonian heritage is still way in advance.
Way in advance. In advance. And it's only going to take Brainiac a few sort of lines of code to get into there to change it up. And I think people were expecting Brainiac to be in this film when we get that quiet moment in the apartment with Lois and Superman. But the fact that it wasn't, that just brings me so much more enjoyment about how James's thoughts behind that scene and that planning of releasing that image at the same time was just fantastic. Now, the film is incredibly visual. We know that now. If you could pick one scene, one frame in this movie to have in a frame, what moment would that be?
Easy. Him, Jake? Coming out of the
of the clouds.
After he...
We are one, buddy. We are one.
I remember being like, that is one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
I was listening to that track this morning, so it's just called The Rift. Yes. And I was like, I was writing in my coffee shop, and I just stopped, and I was... Because I've seen the film so many times now, I can see him emerge from that dust cloud in my head, and I was just feeling myself getting excited.
What is the word? I think it's aura. Aura. Yeah, that's
it. That is aura farming at its peakest.
Yeah, that is.
He knew exactly. I mean, he could have flown off, but he was just there. There's that moment and the moment just before he goes off for the Raptors when he just sort of looks up and then comes back down. Now, I'm trying to get the facts on this to make sure I do get it right. Now, the final scene when he takes on his clone, they didn't say it was Bizarro. They didn't say it was anything. They said it was a clone.
Yes.
Did you see what final blow took him out? When they're in sort of getting drawn in towards the black hole, Superman pushes him into something.
Yeah.
What was that? It looked to me like a subway cart or a train.
Yeah,
because he's more because he's, you know, more powerful than a locomotive. It's all things like that. I was spotting little references to comics throughout the whole film, and the amount of names at the end in the credits that they gave thanks to this film, which were a lot of people. I need to go back because I've got a list of things I need to double check, including there's a very brief moment where we get a look at Jimmy's watch. Now, there is a button on it. I'm not sure if it is a secret Superman watch, but it looks like... I mean, there was a lot of expensive Timex watches in this film.
Yes, there was.
I think that's a sponsor for it. Yeah. No Fossil watches this time around. No.
We'll hold that one down. We'll hold that one down.
That's it. We can do it. I mean, I didn't take it off for about a week.
Yes.
Went everywhere with me. Did that zip wire. I had to take it off. I felt a bit sad. I was like, can I keep something on of Superman, please? There's little things that I'm looking forward to going back and double-checking. And watching again and again. And also,
I want you
listening.
To do something for me the next time you see it.
Yes.
I'll be curious your thoughts on it. I've said this since the first scene that I saw David in.
Okay.
He reminds me so much, both looks-wise, in his voice, in the way he uses his face, in his tone, of a young Brendan Fraser.
Stop it. I saw a picture of him. There was a film that he was in where... He had a very pencil-thin mustache, and he was wearing these nice clothes. I'm thinking, that's a young mummy there.
Look,
let's bring
it
back.
With Brendan Fraser and David Corden Sweat as his son. ASAP. And can I tell you, when he hit the clone, if that's not George of the Jungle, I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
When you see it next time, you'll never be able to unsee this.
See, I was getting Star Wars vibes. I was getting that Anakin moment.
Anakin?
When
he
like he's
Anakin
got like
in him too.
Which I'm sure he was very happy about, because again, we know that he loves the Anakin arc. But...
George,
yeah, let's get him. We'll give him a few Superman films under his belt, and then we'll let him go off and do the Mummy.
Brendan Fraser, I'm telling you, he reminds me so much of Brendan. And even, you know, I've been lucky enough to meet Brendan. He's like the nicest celebrity I've ever met in my life. So that would track. Just he looks so much like him in his voice, in the way he's very expressive with his face, and he can kind of go high with his voice, but he can get deep with his voice. He's Brendan. Immediately, I was the first thing I thought, I swear, in the movie was, man, he looks like Brendan Fraser.
Let's get that back. So that's when we find out that the actual parents are his different parents. They were just dummies.
Well,
it wasn't
Brendan was going to be J.J. Abrams' Superman. There you go.
Which would have been, that links there perfectly. Because, I mean, I've always wanted to have that element of him being a Superman. He's got the charm. He had the build back in the day.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
lost a lot of weight right now as
he
well.
He looks great.
So he's looking fantastic, but he's always got that Brendan charm, whether it be, say, George of the Jungle, or even going back, what you called it something different over there, but it was over here, it was called California Man, where he was the caveman.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yes, I think it's not Bicentennial Man, but it was something like that. But I loved him in his early movies. So yeah, let's bring that back. Let's manifest that.
Sorry, I had to say that before you went on, because I was like, I wanted to make that point.
Wow, now I can't unsee that.
Next
when
time you see it, just let me know what your thoughts are on that. Just like...
Oh, it's all the gollies and the gosh and the dance.
And the gosh and the... Hey, dude. What the hey, dude?
Dude, what the hey? I was like, oh, yes, this is it. This is perfect. Oh, I think I'm going back on Wednesday, so I'll let you know. But there are many things I'm going to be looking out for, especially that. But Easter eggs. What Easter eggs did you spot? There were so many in there. There were street names. There were shop names. One that I spotted on the third time round. I think it's been shared online. But the TV shop where when the kaiju fight's happening, there's the dude eating the ice cream and he keeps going back. On the TV, it's Quitely and Sons. So it's Frank Quitely from All-Star Superman. I was like, that's a good one.
I think, I mean, it's not, it's the grandkids of,
Jerry and Joe.
Jerry and Joe in the Daily Planet. That was the biggest one for me. And I knew, I was like, oh yeah, that's them. I think that was great. Obviously, the Will Reeve scene.
That got some cheers. That got some cheers in my screening for that.
I would love him to just wear a suit just for like a day. Like when I see him in New York, I'm gonna be like, dude, could you please just like wear my suit for just like 5 minutes? I want a picture of you.
Just to see what we can get the public reaction. Just go on a rooftop and just do a few waves and see what happens.
Yeah, I got to see my good friend Sarah, Seattle's Beauty. She got a nice little close-up moment.
She did. I was like, I kind of know her. I know her from work.
Yeah.
It was that.
Yeah, exactly. Supergirl. I'm so excited for her film. And I think this movie is going to make that little... That it's going to do, I think, what Black Panther and Civil War did for Black Panther, where like it was just enough for people like, oh, I'm intrigued by this character now.
I was like, why is... I got a lot of sort of people around me saying, why is she drunk? And they do address it in the film, the fact that they go to sort of different planets. Yeah. But I was like, why is she drunk? Well, she's like, she's a party animal.
Read a comic.
Go read the don't read too much about crypto though. She's going through a lot of stuff. Yeah. Now they've added Lobo, which is great. That's fine. That's not in the comic. So if they're adding things from the comic, they could also take some things away from the comics. And there's a few certain things that I wouldn't necessarily need to see in the film.
Yes. There's one in particular that better not happen.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think I've mentioned a few posts. I was like, James Gunn, leave crypto alone, or the, you know, we will light the beacons and come for you. I've been trying to read at least a few chapters from certain stories this week and last week to get me excited for the film. And Supergirl was one of the books I just, from a visual point, I can't put down, because I'm trying to sort of... I read that the first time around and then watched Guardians number 3, and I was like, for all the different world elements and how James can help build these worlds. Yeah. I'm thinking, this on an IMAX in 3D, all these different futuristics, all these different aesthetics and colours is going to be just, it's going to be...
Valley. It's like his specialty. He's going to, even more so than Superman, he's going to, that's like, it's Guardians with Kryptonians. It's going to be great.
So even though sort of he's not directing as such, I'm sure he will have an input, but it's that world building that he knows is going to just take your eyes on a visual ride.
Yeah.
And especially with that story and those characters. And now that we finally, it's the one set photo I didn't want to see. People were tagging me in a lot of set photos of Superman. And I was like, this is expected. I knew this was going to happen. The words that I had to mute and block on X and other pages was Supergirl.
Yeah.
I did not want to see that suit until I was ready. And I'm not over it. She's only on screen for like, it's like 15 seconds. We see it come through. We can see the dirt and what could possibly be vomit on her dress. She's got the big anorak coat on. She's drunk. She's playing with her dog. And I was like, yes.
Call them the B word.
Yes. I was like, whoa. Goodness gracious me. But it fits. And with the Supergirl, I'll allow it. We didn't see Superman swear when he was in suit, I don't think. So I will let that one slide. But the whole hashtag situation was just chef's kiss. That was hilarious. But seeing that Supergirl costume, seeing her interact with Krypto, and the fact that Krypto became a completely different dog, like most dogs are when they're with different people, and then seeing slam her into the stones and break the ground.
Well, that explains a lot. Like that.
Poor Gary. Poor old Gary, bless him. Alan Tudyk can do no wrong.
He's phenomenal. He's so good.
Like, I think he had like 6 lines in the whole film, but they were just all perfect. Absolutely perfect. I love a robot when they're done well, and that was just spot on. We've had Superman robots before.
Real too. Like, the robots they built, I'm like, how can I get one of those built for me in my house?
Yeah, just a few Superman servants. We'll plug them somehow into the AI.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's nothing can go wrong with that situation at all, can it? We can't learn from our purse mistakes, can we, Sarah Connor?
Absolutely.
Anyway, but yeah, it's such an enjoyable movie. We've had so much fun over the months talking about this film and getting excited for it. After you watched it for the first time in that suit, did the suit feel different to you?
Oh, yeah.
The one that you were wearing.
We talked about it last time. Like, I mean, for me, especially when cosplaying that character, like especially when I'm out in public around people, like I've always viewed it as a responsibility to that character because he means the world to me. Like he's been my hero since I was a little kid. So I want, you know, and the off chance it is someone's first ever time seeing Superman, meeting Superman, whatever it might be. You know, you want to make that experience something that's reflective of the character as best you can. And I think I've always had fun with, you know, I think what I've always done and what was nice to finally see is I've always viewed Superman. He loves being Superman. Like, he has fun being Superman. He loves it. He wants that burden of him. And to see how David, I even heard David say that as well and echo that. So I was like, okay, cool. It really gave me an extra sense of confidence to laugh and be jokey and have that with people, but also the importance of what he represents. And even more so, just reinvigorated any flame inside of me to try and be as punk rock as possible for other people.
That's it, buddy. That's it. And I think, as you said before, people are coming out saying, oh, that was cool. That film and that Superman made me want to be a better person. It's like,
you don't hear that with movies at all.
No. I mean, it's been a while, but I mean, people are coming out and sometimes wanting to act more like the villain or the person that's the anti-hero to come out and think, oh, yeah, that was a good Superman. We could use more films like that. I'm thinking, yes. Was if anything, that's the only thing I wanted, was people to come out and thinking,
yeah,
I want to be more like Supergirl.
And it's also going to make Supergirl more interesting because she's not a carbon copy of him. She's going to be the antithesis of that, and like looking at it from a different lens and having that dynamic, because I guarantee you he shows up in Supergirl at some point.
I mean, but he's going to come and try and give her some words of wisdom, yeah, and they are not going to go down well.
Not going to go well. To see those two in complete opposite is going to make, it's going to be so fun for the universe, and I'm excited to see.
And they are so different when they are, we don't see them side by side. I like that.
Yes.
We see them from on different sides of the fortress.
Yeah.
David is tall, Millie not so much. So to see those comparing and that comparison of height is going to be fun.
Yes.
But I've only really seen Millie in House of Dragons, and fantastic role, but not necessarily sort of Supergirl. Expectant of a Supergirl. Right. Say, okay, I'm interested. I want to see where she can go with this. And for, again, I've not counted how many words she says. It's not many, but each one is perfect.
Dynamite.
And
yeah,
that, yeah, Superman B part was like, that's it. She's not even a goodbye. She's just out the door. She's going back on her adventures. She's got stuff to do and she doesn't need Superman to help her.
Look on his face of just like,
yeah, I've tried my best.
And then
she's a lost cause.
That was just like,
yeah, I'm worried for her. Yeah, well, you know, she's different to me.
Yeah.
She knows what she wants. It's not my advice, that's for sure. Oh, now if you were to recommend this film to somebody that has never read a Superman comic before, doesn't know anything about Superman, how would you sell it to someone, Jeff?
I think it's one of the nice things about the film is I think it does set up a universe, but it is kind of an isolated film where it can stand on its own merits. So I would say for someone who's introduction to Superman, I would say buckle up, take notes, and be like Clark. Now, and I would just say, you know, this is a world where, and I love that it's already established that heroes are amongst us, and he is, as it's stating in the crawl, most powerful of them all. He's the alpha of the meta humans, and Superman was the birth of superheroes to begin with, and I think this film wraps exactly why he was the first and is still the bar for the superhero genre in general. So just take notes and enjoy a very fun ride. And that's the thing. This movie's fun. It's very fun. You don't have to overthink it. Just have fun.
Don't. And that is it. I mean, you can try and make predictions in this film. I've made some, and I will share my prediction list because I got a lot of the things wrong on my list. And that's what I want from a film.
Yeah.
I want to switch off and be taken on somebody else's adventure. And having these twists and turns, especially that mid scene where we see him in his apartment, that was like, oh, wow, fantastic. I know this scene. No, I don't. This is completely different. This is why the trailers really didn't scratch the surface. And I'm so glad with that. Apart, the one thing that I wish I didn't allow myself to watch was that moment when we see him with the kaiju and he sort of, the dog flies away and then he goes under the floor and tunnels his way out.
Yeah, yeah.
That is straight out of Superman the Animated Series. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to see Superman do something like that. We got it in Superman Returns with the bullet going into the eye, which was gross.
It was a little
but gross. Still cool. Yeah. And that's something I do want to bring out with James Gunn if I ever get the chance. As somebody that works, when I'm not doing this, I work in an optician's, so eyes is my business. James Gunn's fascination with eyes. Whether it be Starro in Suicide Squad, there's lots of eyes in this with the kaiju. There were the nanobites in Superman's eye. I was thinking, oh, it's just all the dirty things going into eyes. It was dreadful. But seeing that, seeing him burrow out and crashing up through the sky was like, that is a comic combined with the animated series, mm-hmm. combined with everything that I want Superman to do, saving people whilst having fun and looking good whilst doing it as well. Visually, this film for me was just such a fun ride to go on because I didn't know where to look at any point. I was trying to look around the screen and see what I was missing. It was just an absolute joy.
Yeah, and I'm not just saying this to boost the movie. I think it generally is a movie you have to see like two or three times to really, like, really let it marinate and sink through and to really experience it at its fullest potential is to see it multiple times.
Which is, I think, which is fantastic. I mean, and that's something that's been going on for decades since movies were out. You would go and see a film a few times, partly because we didn't have the luxuries that were televisions at home or sort of entertainment systems. The cinema was the place to go to escape. You would go in, you would pay your quarter or a nickel or however it was much back then. It was cheap. But yeah, you were going out and you were having a fun time. And you would then go back in and watch something else or whatever was playing. What I've heard from people going back for their second and third viewings is that they're picking up on new things. They want to experience that monologue. They want to see that fight. They want to see that punch again and see those teeth bounce off the camera. It's all things like that, and it's just a joy to hear people talk about.
1,000%. I'm just happy. I'm happy. I mean, it's doing what I hoped it would do. You know, I think he understood this and he delivered. You know, I think that's the main thing, is he promised something
and we delivered, and
to know it's just like this is the first installment of a universe is exciting, because there's part of it too is I was thinking so much about other characters too, of like, it's far extreme as hopeful as Superman is. I'm like, when he meets Batman, that dynamic is gonna be so, because Batman's gonna be like, dude,
who's this?
Like, why are you like this? I mean,
why are you? Yeah,
it's gonna be so, so good, so good.
And that's it. I mean, we are here now. We're on the new dawn of it, as it were. And there's exciting times ahead. And James Gunn, I'm sure, we're going to have a very well needed break soon.
Yeah,
his the marketing for this film, we were awaiting for it. Lots of people were saying, "Come on, where's the marketing? Where's the trailers?" And then everyone was like, "Stop. There's too many trailers. There's too much marketing." Then the world tour kicked off. Then they're sort of nipping off around the world. They're going to Rio de Janeiro. And they're going to all over the place. Coming to England, going to France, America, back to China. It's great to see that their work ethic, but the fun they're having at the same time, all the reels and the TikToks they've been putting out. The chemistry between all three of the sort of the trinity, the new trinity, which is Clark, Lois, and Lex. Nobody thought that love triangle was going to be a thing.
My favorite one is the one where the phone's sliding down the trunks of the suit, and then it's on Nick, and he's like, oh my God,
in the dark. Superman's in cinemas now. I was like, they're really leaning in hard.
The thing, to see me, I mean, Superman.
Yeah. They're really leaning in hard to that bromance, which was fantastic. Yeah. But the fact, what I've seen as well, is David is just so sweet and pure. He doesn't understand some of the things that they're talking about or saying. He is Clark on and off screen, with a hint of Superman as well. He's got that Reeve charm that he probably got from the same school he went to as Juilliard. Mm-hmm. But they've been doing fantastic things to promote this film. And you can see there was clearly quite a high budget for it. It's worked because the world was talking about this film before it even happened.
Right.
I hope people many years down the line will study this Superman moment, much like people studied the Batman mania in 1989, because we are getting that now as Superman fans. It's expensive, but it's worth it. It's so worth it.
Yeah. That's the point of marketing, right? Is to get people talking either way, good or bad. It's marketing.
Good or bad.
There's no such thing as bad marketing. It's any marketing is good marketing.
So. That's it. So they're doing a good job when it comes to that. And I'm just happy to be talking it with so many people around the world. This is what this... I was going to do podcasts around it, but then sort of the Luke Up thing kind of like just happened. I was like,
Speaking of great marketing, Luke Up, that is...
Luke Up. Fantastic. Yeah, I had a little chat with James Gunn a while ago and said, look, if you could put the words Look Up into the film, I mean, it's the same amount of letters. It doesn't hurt.
Why not?
It works. I'm going to be speaking with as many people as possible about this film, and hopefully talking with people that helped make this film happen. There are so many fantastic people behind the scenes in makeup and costume and visual effects and actual effects with the robots and the props. I want to learn as much about this film as possible from the people that made it. They're bringing out behind the scenes and art books, which will be added to my collection without a doubt. But I want to hear firsthand about what it was like to work on this movie, because for me, it's something that I want to study. It's all well and good watching the film and having respect for the filmmakers, but I want the low down details, the nitty gritty. I want to know what they had for lunch each day and why they wanted to go back to work to keep working hard on this fantastic movie. Because like most things with Superman, it means something to us. And that's what I want to know more about. I want a deeper connection to the mythology and the character.
Yeah, I love that. Well, let me say on the record while we're on here, I just want to say appreciate everything you've done for the movie and promoting it and, you know, taping the word to care, because, you know, it takes people to get the good word out besides just, Mr. Gunn and his amazing group of people. So I just want to say you've done an amazing job, and the recognition and some of the things I've seen you get to do is well deserved. So I wanted to say that on air. So you don't
touch
this part so I can give you...
You're a sneaky boy. There's not many people that I would jump off a building for, but Superman literally is one of them. I've never done a zip wire, zip line situation before. I think it's one of the tallest buildings in England. And as soon as they asked us to do it, it was about a few weeks before, because there's lots of paperwork involved with something like that. But I said yes straight away. Comfort zone I just leaped out of. I'd rather just say yes and worry about it later. And then the day came when I would be zip wiring off the shard, and I was worried then. That worry build up. I am as well. Figure that out. Being a Superman fan, I went there with Paul from DC World and Jeremy from All on the Board, and they were all really excited. Paul's done these before. Jeremy's not done it ever, and he was as cool as a cucumber. He sang a song going down there. He made up this song to the theme of John Williams' Superman, and it's about him and his son loving Superman, and he sang it perfectly. But we got to the top where we had to sort of put these jumpsuits on, and I was looking out the window and seeing people go down, and it looked smooth. It looked okay. But then I was seeing other people's headcam footage, and I thought, this looks fun. I'm not going to want to do this. The regret of not doing it would hurt more than anything that would happen. Right. But there was no pain. Everybody there was perfectly perfect, helping us with any questions and making sure we were nice and safe. Guide us through what we had to do on the zip wire. They had a David Corenswet Superman action figure. So this is when you tuck in your legs. This is when you hold your straps. And then when I thought we weren't going to get any higher, we went in another lift, which took us to the roof. And that lift took forever. And the doors opened. We looked out over London, one of the clearest days. And I was thinking, well, these helicopters and planes, they're flying pretty low. Then I was like, actually, no, we're just really high up and the planes are at a normal level. And then it came to my turn to leap off a building for Superman, and I had to sort of get into position and sort of get into a press-up position. I asked him what a press-up was, and he said, just get on the floor, get ready. And they did all the safety parts, and they said, count me down from 3, 2, 1, and then they gently glided me off as I sailed across the sky like Superman.
So cool.
I think there was a little bit of grace there. Not much, but enough to sort of make it memorable.
It was great.
I did it. I didn't have a cape on because it was for health and safety, but I've done it now. I can say that I've jumped off a building for Superman and got to the other side. But yes, the promo for this film has been an absolute privilege to just literally shout it from the rooftops.
Yeah.
But talking about Superman is something that we love to do, Jake. We've always done it. We love talking about what Superman is and what Superman can do to the right audience. Superman's always had the chance to have a great story, and now we've got that great story. Yeah. We've got visuals, we've got music, we've got characters, and we've got a new audience waiting for more Superman stories, which is all I could possibly ask for as a Superman fan.
And the beautiful thing, too, is like how many, I mean, including us, like how many friendships have you gained with people just throughout this whole process of when we first started to now? I mean, I, I mean, I know this is how we met, you know, and just like and having this group that, you know, from stuff we've done for the Reef Foundation to just collaboration posts to just seeing people across the world in different countries and having
be happy.
The same thing.
That's it. We're just watching people be happy about Superman. It brings us all together. Now, of course, people in sort of, as we call it in real life, friends and family, they are aware of that we are all, many say, we're obsessed with Superman. That is what most will say. But a lot of us get it on a more deeper level, the fact that this is a character that we've grown up with, we've learned about, and we believe in the same things that he believes in. And so with the good sides of the internet and social media, meeting wonderful people like yourself, Jake, meeting people and fans around the world in different countries where everything means something different.
Yeah.
It's why I've enjoyed this series of speaking with people in Spain and in Italy and Australia and America and soon Indonesia. I'm speaking with the Superman fans of Indonesia.
That's awesome.
And that's going to be just to learn more about that the fact that Superman is so well known around the world and impactful. And this is the year to celebrate that. I'm not sure what's going to happen for the 100-year celebration in 2038. I know I'm ready for whatever happens.
I'm like, will I still be able to cosplay Superman at that point?
Of course you will. The cape is ageless. The cape always makes us look young,
maybe,
sir.
Maybe I'll get a little Greg and do a Kingdom Come by then.
Kingdom Come, that's it. There'd be time then as well. You know, enough time would have passed, sir. But it's just a joy whenever I get to talk about Superman. And I wanted to make that more of a documented report, which is why I want this podcast to look back. So thank you for coming on to Luke Up. Now, I think when in upcoming months, we're going to have home releases.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a way in which we can figure it out where we can all watch it together at the same time. We all hit play and we all try our hardest not to say the lines that are coming out of the characters' mouths. That's going to be tricky, but it just means we get to enjoy Superman even more into the future. Jake, thank you for your time today, sir. Please let the people know where they can find you online and see your fantastic cosplay.
Oh gosh, you can find me at FoggyKnight14 via Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. I always post my next con event that I will be at, as well as charity events across the country, hopefully in the world at some point too. Got to cross the pond. I'm going to see my guy Luke.
Yes,
26.
Sir.
It's happening.
Yes, sir. I can't wait for that.
But you can find me there. Reach out anytime if you want to talk about Superman. Please do so. Be happy to join in. So, yeah, Luke Up. We can do that.
Luke Up. We can do that, sir. Superb, sir. Yes. I'll tell you what. I'm always contemplating getting more Superman tattoos. I've only got one just up here.
But I didn't know you even had one.
Just a little one up there. It's not a very stretchy shirt, but he's just up there. Old school Superman. The Bon Jovi one.
Love that.
I didn't ask for a Bon Jovi Superman tattoo. I just got one. The punk rock quote, it's something that I've loved, and I made a little edit of that, last week, and it's been one of my most popular posts on Instagram, and I'm so happy.
Special to tell you. I don't know whether I should tell you on here or after the fact, but...
Well, let's go with afterwards, and if it's really good, I'll keep it in anyway, but no. Off the record, that whole off the record scene, like in the film, where Clark didn't understand what off the record meant,
but...
Not that part. But yes, Jake, thank you so much for your time today.
We
will be in touch soon. We're going to continue sharing the legacy that is Superman, and I can't wait to see what you do next, sir. Take care, buddy.